Hello and welcome to the Rebecca Lee Podcast. I'm your host and wellness sis, Rebecca. I'm an LA-based holistic nutritionist, and I'm here to help guide you through the world of wellness in the most straightforward, balanced, and intuitive way. Join me every week for casual big sis chats as I spill the deets on all things real holistic health and wellness to guide you towards living your best life. Now, let's get into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited for today's episode because I have my friend Tamara here from Tamara Fitness. Please say hi to the audience.
Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to be here with Rebecca. I've been excited to be on this podcast.
We are so excited to have you. Seriously, I think you are the perfect guest to bring on here. I have been wanting to talk to you just about all things like fitness, health, mental health. So much good stuff. You bring so much positivity, realness, and value to social media. So I thought you'd be the perfect guest. And to kick it off, I want you just to like tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, where you're from, etc.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Tamara Anthony, pronounced like Tamara, Camera with a T. I live in San Diego. I graduated college a couple years ago. I majored in kinesiology. So that's kind of, I always wanted to go some type of health or fitness route, but originally it was physical therapy and then it switched to PA. And now we're kind of just riding the way of life and seeing where it takes me. But after college, I got certified to be a personal trainer. I started all my social media platforms just sharing my knowledge with others to help them reach their fitness goals and health goals. And then I became an Orange Theory coach. So right now I am coaching Orange Theory classes in San Diego. And then I also have my workout guides. And then I also have my social media platform. So we're just fitness all around, basically.
I love it. I love it. I'm always so impressed by everything you do. Seriously. I want to know a little bit about like your journey and your health journey, or just like how you even got into fitness and, you know, everything. What's the background behind that?
Yeah, I always get asked, like, when did my fitness journey begin? I never really had like a beginning date because I've been active my whole life. Like preschool, I was in dance classes and then gymnastics, and I got into tumbling and then pole vault, and then I ran track and cross country. And then after high school sports, I kind of went off to do my own thing. But the person I was dating was super into the gym, so that kept me into the gym. And then I got into lifting by myself. And ever since then, it's kind of evolved. Like I've had some years where I'm working really hard, and then I've had some years where I've really fallen off. I've tried boxing. I've tried yoga. I don't know. I feel like my journey is always evolving, always changing. And yeah, I never had a beginning, but I've just always been in that fitness world. Also forgot to mention, both my parents are fitness trainers of some sort. My mom does aerobics and she does cycling now. My dad does cycling classes. So it's kind of always been around me.
I love that. And I love how you said that, like, it's still evolving. It's always evolving. Cause I always, you know, kind of preach the same thing when people ask me about my health journey, that it's just like, it's always changing. There's no like start or end. Like it's kind of just like our lives almost, you know what I mean?
Totally. Situations change, your goals change. So many things are different.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. So super interesting. Your parents are like trainers and into fitness too. So I'm sure that like helped you.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually how they met. I think my dad took my mom's class or something like that.
No way.
They're not together anymore, but
it's so cute.
It's a cute love story for what it was.
So I know a lot of people are interested who are, you know, a lot of followers come to me and ask me just like how I became a nutritionist, or, you know, just are interested kind of like in the behind the scenes and to take their passions to the next level. So can you talk a little bit about just like how you became an Orange Theory coach and a certified personal trainer, and just like anything to know with like the back end processes behind that?
Yeah. So when I was in college, I had an Orange Theory that was right across the school from me. And I loved working out in gyms because high free gym membership. So I went in and applied, and I was an SA there for probably like a year and a half. And the whole time I would just look at the classes and be like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. I want to be a coach so badly. Like I was always a sales associate dancing at the front desk, getting everyone pumped up. And I was like, I would kill it if I was a coach. And then quarantine happened. And I've always said that I wanted to be a personal trainer literally since high school. And so I was like, I have the time. Why not just sit down and get my NASM cert? So I did that. And then once I had that under my belt, I wouldn't stop letting Orange Theory know that I wanted to be a coach. Like every time the owner came in or like the head coaches, I'd be like, hi, I want to be a coach. Let me know what auditions are. And then finally an audition happened and you go in and you audition basically. And then there's like a week long training. They slowly get you more and more into it. And then boom, I'm an Orange Theory coach. But obviously you don't have to be a sales associate beforehand. That was just like my college job and my foot in the door. It definitely helps, I feel like, with any business growing from down and like rising up. But you can just apply if you have your training certification or if you just want to be a coach, you can just go straight in that way.
I love that. That's so interesting. You say to be, you, during quarantine, you found the time to become like a trainer. Like it's something you've been wanting to do forever. Yeah. And it was the same exact thing with me. Like I always wanted to do something in nutrition and I just never had the chance to. And then quarantine hit and I was like, well, I have nothing else to do. I might as well take this certification online and become a holistic nutritionist. So interesting.
Totally. Exactly. No, quarantine was like the beginning of everything. That's when I started. TikTok was like the first one, Instagram and YouTube, that all came from quarantine and like finally having the time and also like hit such a low where I was like, we need to figure something out, like a new distraction. So yeah.
Same. I feel that.
I feel like everyone had the same quarantine experience. Everyone super depressed and then started a new job.
No, seriously. I think a lot of people just like found what was like important to them or what they actually enjoyed and like took a step back from like the craziness of like life and just got more like with themselves almost to find that out.
It's like almost so many people had like a spiritual awakening during that time.
Yes.
Finally had the time to sit and think with yourself. We never were allowed that before.
Yeah. Wow. That's like a whole nother topic. Honestly, we could make a whole nother podcast episode on that one. I think maybe we'll have to schedule it for another time.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. Seriously. Let us know if you're interested in this. So how do you manage everything? Like, I know we actually talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but I wanted to ask on the pod to like, you know, help others because I just swear you do it all. Like you're coaching, you have products, you're on social media, you're like, I don't even know. You kill it and you amaze me all the time by how you do everything. So can you just talk about like the balance of that, especially with like a social life and just everything? Like, how do you manage it?
Yeah. I was telling Rebecca before this, that I think it's crazy that she thinks that about me because I feel so wild and like, yeah, I definitely have my stuff together, but I don't feel like the most organized person in the entire world. So it's just so important to realize like what you're seeing on social media, it's just such a highlight reel. I'm picking what you get to see and all those kind of things. But for me, I am a huge list girl and a planner girl. So in the morning, I feel like I just get attacked by my thoughts and everything that I need to do. And if I don't write it down, then those thoughts will totally consume me. So I love taking out my planner, writing all the things that I need to do, scheduling things out in advance, just kind of things like that. But when it comes to work versus social life, I've really had to learn how to manage these two things because it's really easy to get lost into both of them. And I feel like that's what I've always been, is like 0 or 100. Either I'm hanging out with my friends all the time or I'm not hanging out with them at all, or I'm working all the time or I'm not working out at all. I'm a very like on or off person. And for me, I found that like getting all my work done in the beginning of the day, all those kind of things is really important, but also scheduling like at least 1 to 2 times to go hang out with friends and have that socializing hour, because a week or two can go by without seeing your friends. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're so alone and you feel isolated, especially with like a job where you're self-employed and you don't have to go anywhere. It's so important to plan those things in because they're just as important as work. But I would just say that like lists, planners are just my number one.
Yeah. Also Tamara just came out with a planner herself. So definitely go check that out. Yeah. But yeah, I know I completely agree with you. I have to make lists, especially working for yourself. Like you have to be on top of just like your to-do list. I sometimes even do them the night before, 'cause I know the morning I'll get anxiety. So if like I'm in bed and I'll just open up my notes app on my phone and be like, okay, tomorrow, boom, 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 boom. So I know I can like wake up and relax.
And even what's funny is like, you'll be thinking in your head, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. There's like 100 things that I need to do. And then when you write your list, it's like 4 things.
Yeah. It never ends up taking as long as you think it does too.
No, never. It's just like that scary thing you just sit and stare at for a while.
So true. Okay. So now I want to get into a little bit around like fitness and we got a lot of good questions from the community too. I asked on my Instagram stories to give me questions that people had for you. So I want to get into some fitness questions.
Okay.
And first question I want to ask you is, what would you tell someone who wants to get into lifting or working out, but they're a beginner? I know a lot of people and women especially can get intimidated by weights and working out in that way. So what would you suggest to someone who's a beginner in this?
Start super small and form over everything. So I know you're on social media watching all these videos and it's like front foot elevated curtsy lunge and all of these super technical terms. Just start with squats, lunges, push-ups. It doesn't have to be complicated. And before you move up in weight in anything, make sure your form is perfect with a really small amount of weight before you add anything on. That's just for injury purposes, honestly. You want to make sure that you're feeling good before you add on another 50 pounds and try to do the exact same thing. And remember that everybody has to start somewhere. There's no like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of how I want to say this. Everybody starts somewhere. Like everybody you see in the gym that looks super bulky or the girl with the big booty or like whoever's in the gym, they all had to start from somewhere. They didn't just come out of the womb looking like that. They have all been in the same exact position that you're in. So know that really nobody cares about you in the gym. Nobody's staring at you. That is your time. People are going on into the gym to work on themselves, not to judge other people. If they are, that's just strange and unusual. I've never done that personally. But yeah, just start with the basics, form over everything, and just focus on you.
So true. No, I really love that. And I completely agree. I think people get into this like all or nothing mentality, like, oh my gosh, I don't know where to start with weights. So I'm just not going to lift weights at all. But it's like, no, start slow, start with the basics and you'll work your way up.
Totally. And like, if it's your first time going to the gym and that in itself is an overwhelming experience, then don't say, I'm going to go to the gym for an hour and do all of these exercises. Tell yourself you're going to go to the gym for 15 minutes and you're going to walk on the treadmill and do that for a week if that makes you feel comfortable in that environment. And then maybe you'll start looking around and be like, okay, I actually do want to try that. Or maybe I'll stay a little bit longer and like do abs in this corner. It's always like a slow work in progress. Just do what's best.
So true. I love that. And going off that, if there are some girls who, you know, are starting to go to the gym or, you know, are interested in weightlifting, but maybe they're scared around the myth that goes around, weightlifting makes you bulky. So I really want to debunk this myth with you, because as a girl who's been lifting weights for like, I don't know, literally like 8 years now, like I've done weightlifting for so long since I was 16, it's just not true. And I don't want anyone to avoid strength training just because they're afraid of getting bulky. So what can you say to that?
I would like to say that when I was the smallest I ever was, I was the strongest that I ever was. I was lifting the heaviest weight that I ever have, more than I have now. And I was the smallest I've ever been. Those two things are not a direct correlation to each other at all. The girls that you see where they're like, they have beautiful back muscles and beautiful arm muscles, and they have like larger muscles than the ones that you may be going for. They're not just lifting weights. They're lifting weights. They're eating way, way, way more calories than you. They're also probably taking other supplements to help them get those goals. Like, you aren't going to get those muscles from doing your leg day. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I think just from my own experience, when I was the strongest, I was the smallest. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Brett Contreras. He actually came out in the video and he said the exact same thing. He said, you're the strongest when you're the smallest.
Wow. I didn't even know that. That's super interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I forgot like the exact reasoning behind it, but yeah, I don't know. It's super interesting. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I've actually lived through that myself. I do know that. But also lifting weights, I feel like people are like, well, lifting weights, why would that make me lose weight? Like I'm gaining muscle, like, or a big thing that I always hear. Well, I started lifting weights to lose weight, but the scale, the numbers are going up instead of down. Fuck the scale, throw the scale out. First of
all, thank you.
Fuck the scale. It's such a liar. When you build on muscle, muscle weighs more than fat. So you're in the gym every single day, you're burning fat, but you're also building up muscle. And since it weighs more, the scale is going to go up. So I hate the scale. I think you should, if anything, look at a mirror and you'll be able to see the differences in your body, or use a measuring tape and measure different areas of your body and do it that way. Numbers don't tell you anything really. And also when you start building on muscle, your body, it requires more energy just to exist and do things. So you're burning more calories naturally just by having that muscle there.
Yeah, no, that's a really important thing. And I'm so glad you brought this up. First off, yeah, definitely don't listen to the scale if you're on this journey, because it's just, it's irrelevant and it's doesn't matter.
I don't even have one.
But like, yeah, for me personally, I find that when I'm like lifting the most and doing the most strength training, I'm also like looking my best at the same time, even if I'm not doing any cardio. It's just like strength training, because you are building more muscle and you're exerting more calories at rest, which is the important thing, just to exist. That's when you start to make like real noticeable changes in your body. And I also want to mention, because I used to work with a personal trainer when I was in high school, and I was worried, and I would say to him all the time, like, oh, am I going to get bulky? Am I going to get bulky? And he was like, that the girls that you were talking about, like with the big muscles, or the girls maybe that like people are afraid to, you know, get like really muscular like that.
It's not your same vibe. Yeah.
Right. He was saying that doesn't happen by accident. You're not going to get that by accident. Those people, they're doing it. They're doing what it takes to get there as a woman, especially, you know what I mean? It doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah, that's a lot of hard work in order to, they're putting in some hours into their day to get bodies like that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you have to eat a lot to get there too, I think.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I feel like people don't realize how hard that actually is, like to eat the amount of food that they have to like get to feed and fuel all of those muscles. It's a difference.
So true. Your
typical day in the life calories.
So ladies, if you're listening and you're scared of getting bulky from lifting weights, point of the story here is don't be scared, please. Yes. I promise you, it'll probably help with your body composition way more than you could have ever imagined.
Yes.
So going off that, I'm curious to know like your thoughts on like different types of workouts, like cardio versus lifting versus, I don't even know, like just yoga, Pilates, like other types of workouts. Like what in your opinion is like most important, or just like, you know, your opinion on these different things?
I don't think there's one that's better than the others. Like, I don't really want to say that because I love all exercises. Mm-hmm. And personally for me, I change all the time. There's weeks where I literally hate lifting and I just can't even think about touching a barbell, and I'll just go on long walks and do Pilates and take Orange Theory classes or something like that. I think when you really try to give yourself tunnel vision on one thing, and like, you can only do this one thing, that's when you're going to get burnt out because you're making it so restrictive and you're not allowing yourself to just enjoy things that you enjoy. Working out should be fun. You shouldn't be miserable every single time you're doing it, because again, if you're miserable, you're probably going to fall off of it at one point, because who wants to do something that makes them miserable every single day? But I mean, if you're trying to build a booty, going to yoga classes isn't going to do that. Going on a bunch of runs isn't going to do that. You need weightlifting in order to grow muscles like that. Progressive overload, just constantly increasing the tension that you're putting on your body. So there's not really one that's better than the others, but if you do have those focuses, like I want a bigger ass, or say you're trying to lose weight a lot faster, then yeah, maybe incorporating more cardio sessions into your routine would be beneficial. But there's not really like one is better than the others. And I'm sure you've seen it on social media where people are like, they almost like hate on people for not doing the same workouts that they do. And it's like, just enjoy it. Like, do what makes you happy. If you feel like doing yoga, then do yoga. If you feel like lifting weights, then do weights. But I don't know.
I totally agree. I literally hate when people like shame people for the type of workouts that they like. It's like, okay, bro, don't tell me that right now. I don't care.
And it's also like, people are already so timid to try things on their own. And then you have those people that are like, you need to be doing your squats before your squats,
right?
Or your hip thrusts before your squats. And it's like, maybe I just like doing it in that order. You know, it's like, there's no rules that you're breaking. No one's going to come in and scold you for doing that. It's
so true.
like those videos are for people that are trying to get the optimal everything out of their workout and are looking at the smallest little details. That's when it matters. But just do your own thing.
No, and I like what you said about, especially like, I think it depends on your goal too. Like, yeah, like if your goal is to build a booty, like obviously weightlifting is where you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just getting clear on like what your goals are and then like tailoring the workouts to it. But I also like what you said too, just about like, yeah, some weeks I don't feel like doing a certain type of workout and I do a different one. And especially as women, like within our cycle, we're actually different workouts are different, optimal or the best thing for our body at different phases of our cycle. Yeah. So I think that's also super interesting is like, okay, when I'm on my period, like I'm not going to go hard in the gym. Like my body's craving more rest. So maybe I'll do like yoga and go for a walk. But then when I'm like in my ovulation phase around there, like I have way more energy so I can go hard in the gym. So I think it's just like listening to your body and kind of finding balance with it too. You know what I mean? Cool.
Yeah. I mean, any movement is better than no movement. So like, if you don't want to go for the gym, but a walk sounds nice, that's better than nothing. So go for a walk. But oh my gosh, I really need to look into that cycle thing in training because day one of my period, it's like I got hit by a bus. I'm so exhausted and there's like no way I can go to the gym. I immediately, when I find out on my period, I'm like, no gym, that's fine.
Yep.
It happened.
And that's normal, right? Yeah. I feel like we get so conditioned to feel like guilty for skipping a day in the gym because we're not feeling it. And that's like, no, like we actually shouldn't feel guilty for that. Like that's so normal.
Exactly. Cause if I did force myself to go to the gym, I'd probably start working out and then feel so weak because everything feels so tiring and heavy and exhausting. And it would have ended up being a shit workout anyways, where a walk would have just done me much better.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I really love that. And I think also what I found personally for me, like the balance between different type of workouts, I like to view, at least for right now, like I find myself kind of in different seasons of my life craving different type of workouts, if that makes sense. So it's like,
totally,
I don't know, in some seasons, quote unquote, like I'm really craving more just like yoga and Pilates. And then others I'm like, no, now it's time to build a booty. And then in others, it's like, I'm going to take a full break from the gym or I'm going to go do this. And it's like being okay with that. It might change a little bit, like going with the flow of like your body and like the different seasons of your life almost.
Yeah. And I think it's like, because of those changes in your body and changes in your wants, it's a perfect opportunity to try something new. I mean, life is all about experiencing things. So if you're just closing yourself off to doing one thing, like there's so many things that you could try. Maybe you try boxing and you're like, holy shit, I love boxing. I've never had a workout make me feel this good afterwards. Yeah, I don't know.
Next question. I want to go back to kind of what we're talking about, just like about a lot of people I know feel like really guilty about rest days, and taking days off from the gym. But like, can you talk about the importance of it, especially, you know, if you're lifting and working your muscles a lot, like the importance of actually taking rest?
Yeah. Honestly, if you keep pushing your body when it's in such an exhaustive state, you'll start seeing results in the gym. Your body will basically just start to resist you and shut down. Everything will feel way heavier. I'm telling you, there's like no better feeling when you're just over the gym and you give yourself that week to just be like, okay, take a break, walk away. And then the excitement you feel to come back and how good that first lift feels. It's like, I don't know. Breaks are so important for your body to build muscle, to recover. If you feel super, super sore, but you're planning on going to the gym the next day, just take that extra rest day so that workout actually benefits you instead of you not getting everything that you wanted to out of it. I love rest days. Also, when you're sick, so important to push rest days, because if you just push yourself or injuries, if you keep pushing yourself while you're in that state, you're not going to get better and it's going to take you longer to recover, just keeping you out of the gym for longer. So take them when you need it. Listen to signs from your body when it's asking for it.
Definitely. I'm glad we made that clear. I don't want people being scared of rest days anymore because they're so important. So I know you have your own like fitness plan, workout plans that, you know, every month you give the people who are subscribed, you know, a new workout plan, which is super awesome. But I'm just curious, just like your thoughts and stuff around like how to even make a general workout routine. Like if somebody's trying to make a routine for themselves, or, you know, even your workout routine, like what do you have to say about that?
Before I started my guides, I got certified through NASM to become a personal trainer. I didn't want to make guides until I had that certification because I just want to be educated when it comes to formulating workouts. And I have a lot of different kinds. So I have like a body only, I have a dumbbell only, and then I have my normal gym guide. And I guess I can walk you through how I design like a leg day in my guide, because I think legs gives you the best clear view of what I'm talking about. So let's just walk through how to do a workout. You always want to start your workout with the heaviest lifts, the hardest ones, the one that takes the most energy from your body. And we call those compound lifts. So examples of those: deadlifts, squats, hip thrusts, lunges on the barbell, just those exercises that are really hard and require your whole body to move because it takes the most energy from your body. So you want to put those at the beginning so that your energy goes towards that. They're the most important, basically. Then you can go into more of your accessory movements. So you have accessory. Yeah. I was adding in and I was like, that's definitely not correct. Accessory movements. So that's where you have like your cable kickbacks or the Bulgarian lunges, all of those kind of things. You can put those more towards the end. And then you have like isolated movements like hamstring curl and all of those things. Think about it. You want to start your workout with the things that require the most energy. And then as time goes on, the exercises almost get easier in a sense, just because your body has less energy to do those things. So I hope that kind of puts it into clear perspective of like how I start a workout. So for my gym guide, every single leg day, you're going to start off with two compound movements every time. And then you'll have four more exercises that you can superset. And they're like walking lunges with plate abductions and then hamstring curls with donkey kicks. It's slowly goes down.
Got it. And what does it look like in a week?
Oh, for a week. So like a breakdown, I designed it kind of how I work out. So I have two leg days and then I have like a back and biceps day. So I pair back and biceps together and then I have a chest and tris and then I have a shoulders and core. That's just for my gym guide and how I design it, 'cause that's personally how I like to break things out. But there's so many different ways that you can break down your body. You also don't have to break down your body that way. You could do like a leg day, full body day, Pilates, leg day, full body day. Like if you're not really trying to like grow your chest muscles or triceps, that's not super important to you. You just want to move your body, then do it that way.
Right. No, that's a good point. I have to know your favorite booty building exercises. I think this question actually came up a lot from some followers and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be back on my hot girl booty building grind this year in 2022. So, I have to know as well.
I'm going to take it that you guys just said that I have a nice booty. So thank you guys for that. But I will say I never do a leg day without hip thrust. If you're on my gym guide, you know that. And I'm so sorry, but yeah, we're doing hip thrust every single leg day. I also love heavy Bulgarian lunges, cable kickbacks, and also back extensions. I would say those are like my all-time favorite. Lately, I've been really getting into squats. I'm going through like a squats phase. I've just been loving them, but I feel like those are my favorites. And if I'm throwing a workout together, I'll probably throw all those exercises together for a booty workout.
Okay. Love. I'm literally taking notes. I'm going to be doing those in the gym next time. I love hip thrust too. Well, love hate. But I find for me, like side note, I feel like I'm very quad dominant. Like I played soccer my whole life and I feel like my quads were always the place that those muscles would grow so much faster than my hamstrings or my glutes. Yeah. So like, I always felt like whenever I did squats, all it did was grow my quads and not my glutes. Like, I don't know if you know much about just like,
no, I'm quad dominant too. I know exactly what you're talking about. Even when I do hip thrusts, I can feel my quads working more than my glutes. Sometimes it's just that muscle can take over exercises because it's stronger. For that, I totally understand. And people are like, yeah, I really want to go heavy in squats, but I'm quad dominant. So like, it's all going to go into my quads. Same thing. So for squats and things that are really quad focused, I'll go lighter on my weight. And then deadlifts, hip thrusts, I'll usually go way heavier on my weight in those exercises where they're targeting the back of the legs versus the front. But yeah, quad dominance is very, very frustrating. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's also been a trial. People are like, how do you know if you're quad dominant? Because a lot of people hear that word and then use it as an excuse not to work their quads. Right. The reason I'm quad dominant is because my quads just grow faster than any part of my body. And I know that from years of working out, watching my body go through changes, also feeling in exercises. I'm doing hip thrusts, which should be like glutes and hamstrings. And it's just my quads are on fire. So it's kind of those things. Also, when setting up your form for hip thrusts and squats and all those things, your foot position, play around with different things that work for you. Because sometimes, or before when I was doing hip thrusts, I was like, okay, I feel it in my quads, so I'm going to make my feet wider. And when I do wider, I actually felt it in my quads more. And then when I moved them in, I felt it more in my glutes. And that's honestly different for a lot of people and depends on your mind to muscle connection. So try playing with your feet, maybe turning them a little bit more wider, maybe bringing them in a little bit more, moving the knees wider. Those kind of things can also help you feel it in different areas of your body.
So interesting. I'll definitely have to pay attention to that because I think it just depends like also on your body shape and your body type and just like the way yours is too. I bet that like plays into it, but interesting. You just mentioned the mind, muscle connection. I think that's so interesting. I personally just want to even like know more about it. What can you like tell us about the mind muscle connection?
It's like an interesting thing to explain because if you've never experienced it, it's like kind of hard, but say I am doing hip thrust. I just close my eyes because I literally close my eyes when I'm trying to feel mind to muscle. I will focus just on my glute muscle. And as my tailbone is scooping up, I'm just focusing on my muscles squeezing. It's kind of like whatever you put your mind to is what you focus on and what you feel the most. Like if you have a cut on your finger and you don't realize you have a cut on your finger and then you look at it, you're like, ow, that really hurts because you just brought your eyes to it. It's kind of that same thing. Like, okay, feel this muscle, really focus on pulling it in and then taking it back up. And I swear you just feel, it's just so much more focus in your workout. So you just feel like your muscles are getting a better workout. And it takes time because also you kind of have to have muscle to feel what you're feeling. Like back exercises, especially, it's kind of hard for a lot of people to have mind and muscle because they don't have big back muscles. So they're like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be feeling here. So it's a slow work in progress, just like working out, just start thinking about it and really focusing on those muscles and what they're doing in that movement.
I love that. I feel like that just makes you so much more present in your workouts too.
Totally. Like almost like a meditative, you're focusing on your breath, all of those things.
I love that. Okay. I'm literally, this podcast episode's so helpful for me. Like selfishly, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go to the gym later today and crush my workout. So
that makes me so happy. Cause remember earlier when you're like, I feel like I don't know what I'm saying when I'm talking and I hope it's helpful.
Yes.
That's how I feel right now. I'm like, I really hope I'm making any sense to anyone.
You are. Don't worry. I know what you mean though. Sometimes when you're just talking and you're just like going and rambling, it's like, oh my gosh, wait, what am I actually saying? But it makes sense. Do you have any tips for if someone feels like they're like plateauing in the gym?
Yeah, I would rewrite your goals. Mm-hmm. And also if you're rewriting those goals and all of them are physical, erase them and then restart writing your goals.
Love.
If your goals are just focused on your body and all of those physical things, you're never going to be happy because you are always going to be like, well, now I want my body to do this, or I wish it was like this in some way, or da, 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 da. You should always tie your goals to like some kind of feeling. So I want to feel more energetic. I want to feel super happy. I want to not get winded every time I have to walk up to my apartment. I want to be able to hold all my groceries to my apartment from my car. Those kind of things. Oh shit. Sorry.
I love that. I think that's so important because it's like, yeah, people think they may be plateauing, but that's only depends on the mindset you have around it and just like what you're focusing on. Like maybe you're not focusing on the right things.
Yeah. And so say that isn't the problem. It's not the goal. And you just feel like you're plateauing. Maybe take a break and try some different things. Give your body that rest. Cause maybe you're just exhausted and your body's had enough of the gym and it just needs that time off for you to get excited about it again and want to push yourself. Maybe in that time, try Pilates or try boxing or try an Orange Theory class, try something to get your mind off of it and then jump back into it when you need it. You don't have to lift every single day. You don't have to have the routine every single week, month after month, year after year. Honestly, that sounds terrifying, So take a break, switch it up when you need it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I always give that piece of advice to people around just like, try a new workout class, like do something different. Yeah. Because I think your body also gets used to like what you've been doing after a certain amount of time. So it's like, push yourself outside of your comfort zone, push your body to like a different kind of class, even if that's just like yoga or just something different.
Totally. Like it kills me. I can hip thrust like 250 pounds. Easy. No problem. I go to Pilates class and they told me to hold like a split position. I was shaking in Pilates and I was like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. So you think you're strong and all these things, just try something new and you will be quickly humbled.
So true. So true. Like
Pilates is so difficult. And I feel like nobody actually realizes how hard it really is.
It is. So is hot yoga. That is my biggest thing. I'm like, damn, I'm dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally. Okay. Last question around fitness and health stuff. What are some of your like favorite pre and post workout snacks?
Pre-workout cereal or oatmeal, quick, easy, basic. I don't like a lot of fun things in my stomach, if that makes sense, before going into a workout because things start moving and grooving and I'm not happy when I'm there. After I work out, I'll either have a protein shake loaded up with proteins, bananas, basically fats, carbs, and protein. All of those are important to have after your workout, not just protein. Or I'll have like a meal with all of those kind of things, but I really try to have a heavier meal right after my workout.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. I'm the same way. Like maybe just like a piece of fruit or like a fruit and peanut butter or something, just like more carb focus in the beginning and then like a heavier meal after. So
exactly. Carbs before, protein after, but I'm going to say it here. If you are mixing protein with water and calling that a meal, that is not a meal. That does not replace a meal. You need to be eating something with it.
Completely agree. Okay. Love all these answers. This has been super helpful. I want to go into a little bit of just like mindset questions and just like more around like your mindset around things, because I just like love your saying, like you're saying, make today your bitch, which is such like a motivating, powerful thing that you always talk about on social media. And so I was just curious, she's showing me the back of her sweatshirt that says make today your bitch. She sent me one. I love it, by the way. Health is hot.
Oh, yay.
Where did you get this mindset from? And like, how do you keep your mindset so like high and motivating? And just like, I just want to know the background of it, honestly.
Okay. So make today your bitch is honestly, it makes me laugh every time I think about the origin story because it's so random. So when I was in college, I had two roommates, Shayna and Nicole, and Shayna used to work at this one, like hotel. And in the hotel, he had a restaurant. She used to work in the restaurant. So there was this chef, Travis, and Chef Travis would always like tell her stories or like hype her up, just like talked to her all the time. He was just like this funny chef and she'd always come home telling us stories that he told her. And one day she came home and she's like, Chef Travis told me to make today my bitch, like make today your bitch. And we just started saying it, us three in our apartment. We even had like a sign in my old apartment that said, make today your bitch when you walk in. And so when I started Tamer Fitness a couple years later, I didn't even think about it. And originally it still is. Health is hot is what I also, it says it right here. Health is hot. I was just like, health is hot. Mental health is hot. Focusing on yourself is hot. Like that was my whole thing. And then I think one day I just said, make today your bitch. And it just stuck. And I was like, yeah, I love this. Make today your bitch. And it hypes everyone up. But that's the origin of the story. It's really just about like taking the day on. No, you can't control everything that happens, but you can like try to control your mental or your mind going into the day. And it's just feeling confident and taking it on, feeling strong, like you are capable of doing the things that you want to do. So get after it.
I love that. I love that the saying came from like such a random place too.
So random.
So unexpected, but like it really does stick and it is motivating. Like I love it. Even when I hear it, I'm like, oh my God, yes. Like it makes you feel just like capable and like in charge of your life almost, like,
okay, yeah, yes. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make today my bitch. Mm-hmm.
No one else is going to do it for me. So I have to do it myself.
Exactly. It's like, and Chase will always say it to me before he leaves. He's always like, babe, make today your bitch.
I love that. Boyfriends of fitness shit. I love it. Do you have any tips or things that you can share with us just to like keep your mental health high and good in check? Because I know you talk a little bit about it just like on your social media. So I feel like it's always helpful for other people to hear like things that help their mental health. You know, physical health is cool, but mental health is just as important, if not more important. So if you have anything to share with that.
Just as important, you should treat your physical or your mental health just like how you treat your physical health. Like, you put so many hours into your physical health every single day. Why don't you ever think about your mental health? Mental health for me is like my fitness journey. It has a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of rough patches and a lot of really good patches. But things for me when my mental health isn't doing so great is reaching out for help. So either talking to somebody like my boyfriend, my parents, my close friends, or even reaching out to professional help. So I go to therapy about once a week. I'm actually going to therapy in about an hour. And getting that professional help really just helps you make sense of your thoughts and allows you to stop searching for all of these answers. And it kind of just gives you that extra guided assist that you need. Journaling also really, really helps. And I know everybody's like, journaling, why does everybody say journaling? Like, that's so stupid. I'm not going to write in a diary. No, it helps so much. Like, all of those crazy irrational thoughts that you're having, I'm telling you, when you write those onto a piece of paper, it makes that noise in your head just quiet a little bit more because it's out of your body. You got it out. It's not just floating around. I'll sit down and just write for 5 pages, whatever I'm thinking. It doesn't have to make sense. If someone picked up my planner or my journal and tried to read it, they'd probably be like, this girl's on drugs. Like, none of these sentences make sense together. And it's not supposed to make sense. It's just supposed to be a dump for your mind and how you're feeling. But like I said, treating it like your physical health, if you're having like a really, really hard day, if your anxiety is really, really bad, or you're feeling really depressed, give yourself that alone time, have a sick day, sit at home, take care of yourself, do that self-care, whatever it may be. If it's a bath, if it's laying in bed and watching TV and just being there and letting yourself be there, then do that. But I don't know. Mental health is just, it's very, very different from everyone, and everyone needs different things. So find what's best for you. And the social media trends, I know people look at my shit all the time. They're like, oh my God, she reads 30 minutes in the morning and then she journals and then she meditates. Like, that's so extra. Yeah, don't do it if that's not for you. Like, you don't have to do the stupid trends on social media. You don't have to do what everyone's doing. Like I said, if it's sitting on a couch and just staring at a blank wall for an hour, do that if that's what makes you happy. But it's just figuring out what makes you feel good and then focusing on those things when you feel bad.
I love that. That was just beautifully said. Like, literally have nothing else to add besides just like, yeah, I completely agree with all of it. And journaling is definitely very underrated when it comes to your mental health. So definitely second that point. Love that.
Fun with journaling. Actually, my therapist just told me, because I, like, for me, when I get super upset, I'll say things that I regret. And she's like, whenever you have those feelings, before you actually say it, write it down, read it back, and then decide if you want to say it. Cause it kind of gives you that second chance to rethink what you're saying, really think about what you're about to say and feeling, and then you can go from there. And it's just that second, like, oh, okay. Okay.
I love that. That's such a good tip. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Thank you so much, Tamara, for coming on the podcast. I'm seriously so happy you were able to join us. But before we end it, I want you to plug yourself and tell everyone how they can find you, because they should definitely be following you if they aren't already.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. Let us know if you ever want us to get back together, because I was telling Rebecca, I definitely need to go hang out with her soon. That's been long overdue.
Please.
But if you guys want to find me, I am at tamara.fitness on Instagram, Tamara Anthony on TikTok, and then Tamara Anthony on YouTube as well. And my planners, all of those gym guides are linked in my bio on all of those things. So that's where you can find everything and more information about it.
Amazing. You guys should definitely go check her out, check out her stuff. She has such amazing things to offer. And I'm just so happy that you're able to join us. So thank you again.
Thank you. Ah, that was so fun.
So fun.